Verily, war is a species of passionate insanity. Mary Ann Loughborough, civilian, Vicksburg, Mississippi. To the reader. This story focuses on the campaign that results in the siege and conquest of the crucial Mississippi River city of Vicksburg. It is the second volume of a series that explores the often overlooked story of the Civil War in the West. Quotation marks are necessary because to our eye today, West would certainly take us far beyond the shores of the Mississippi River. Yet, throughout much of the Civil War, events that occurred just west of the Appalachian Mountains were often overshadowed by the great battles to the east, which took place close to what we would refer to now as the great media centers of their day. Those events, from Kentucky to the Gulf Coast, from Texas and Arkansas, to Missouri and even New Mexico, were as bloody and as significant to our history as what took place in and around Virginia. Throughout the war, both sides understand the critical importance of railroads and rivers, the two primary means of moving goods and people across vast distances. In the first volume of this series, A Blaze of Glory, the issue primarily is railroads, specifically the Union's effort to capture a critical rail junction at Corinth, Mississippi, which results in the Battle of Shiloh. Now, roughly 1 year later, the Federal armies under the command of Ulysses S. Grant seek to further divide and thus weaken the Confederacy by seizing the last major southern obstacle to northern control of the Mississippi River, the city of Vicksburg. This story follows several pivotal characters through the spring and summer of 1863, as Grant and his generals push through the state of Mississippi, facing off against Confederate forces under the command of General John Pemberton. Some of the voices in this story will be familiar to any student of the war. Generals William T. Sherman and Joseph Johnston, as well as Grant and Pemberton. Brought forward from the first volume is Private Fritz Dutchy Bauer of Wisconsin, whose baptism of fire at Shiloh shapes the kind of soldier he will become. The fourth primary voice is something of a departure for me. The story of Vicksburg is not just a story of battles and generals, and so my research sought out the voices of the civilians, the citizens of Vicksburg, who suffer mightily and whose tenacity is a part of this story that cannot be overlooked. So often in war, civilians are tragically involved simply by being in the way. In Vicksburg, their ordeal affects the way many civilians throughout the divided country will come to view the horrors of this war. They come to represent what the conflict has become, evolving from what some saw as a gentleman's spat between men of honor into a brutal war that will deeply impact towns and cities and their inhabitants. There is a poignant comparison to be made between Vicksburg and what has taken place a few months earlier at Fredericksburg, Virginia. In December 1862, the citizens of Fredericksburg embark on a mass exodus away from their town, fearing the horrific battle that does indeed occur. In the spring of 1863, the residents of Vicksburg are offered the same opportunity for escape, and yet an overwhelming percentage of them decide to remain in their homes. And thus, one of those voices is essential to telling this story, 19-year-old Lucy Spence. I am not an academic historian. If you know of my work, you know that from the Revolutionary War through World War II, my focus has been on the people whose accomplishments and failures have become a visceral part of our history. This is a novel by definition because there is dialogue, and even if a character is well known historically, the point of view has to be described as fictitious. My research has always focused on a study of the original source materials, diaries, memoirs, collections of letters, the accounts of the people who were there. Often, when it fits the flow of the story, I quote their words verbatim. But in every case, their experiences and the events from the historical record are as accurate as I can portray them. If I don't believe in the authenticity of the voices here, neither will you.